You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
A question is trending on TikTok through Eagles Nation that I want to get to, which is the question, do you think you could throw for 10-plus passing yards in an NFL game? No screen passes, no shovel passes allowed. Of course, Tony makes the face.
That'll be the first pass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Tony, you throw for 350 yards.
No, not 350,
four
but at least 10.
No interceptions. A.J. Brown responds to this with, I promise you, after getting crushed by Hassan Reddick and Fletch falls on you, your body will go into shock, and you're not even going to want the ball, I promise. Half of y'all won't be able to see over the O-line. People are going to wish they stayed on the couch commenting.
Can I do that play where I'm in shotgun and my running back comes over wildcat style and say hike and I just tap
it
to him?
No shovel pass.
No shovel
That's not
passes.
A shovel pass. That's got a different name, I think.
How about the wide receiver screen? Can we do that?
No screens also.
Bubble
you
screen.
Damn it.
You guys don't listen.
Wide receiver screen, though. It's a different kind of screen.
There's no cheating. You got to throw the ball down the field.
The ground rules were laid.
Literally no screen.
Very sorry.
You guys are already trying to game the system because A.J. Brown, a giant human being, made of muscles on top of muscles, is telling you don't want to do any of this.
Okay, how about this? What if I'm in, what if I'm running, it's thrown to me behind the line of scrimmage, and then I pass it forward, and people think I'm going to run the ball.
You're nervous about throwing a first pitch out tonight.
No, well, that's because I have...
Fletcher Cox is not going to tackle you when you do it.
Listen to me, Dan. I'm injured, and we've discussed this many times. I have an elbow situation that may require Tommy John surgery, and I also have an injury to my eye that, if we remember correctly, Tony had earlier this year or last year, and it required him, not only for him to be here in a wheelchair, he had one of those support animals who had like the wheelchair with the wheels on the dog. That's how much Tony was injured, that the dog was in a wheelchair. That's how bad it was for him.
The way Billy said, I have an eye injury, reminded me of the old Eddie Murphy sketch where he's getting sued by everyone who was in a fight in the nightclub. Says, yes, see, I wasn't in the fight per se, but then a light fell down, and it reflected off the disco ball, and it created a very uncomfortable sensation in my eye.
No.
That's why I need $10 million.
No, this is diagnosed. I have to put two different types of drops. And I ordered Amin, and I was made fun of. People were just joshing around last break. I was made fun of in the other room because I ordered those sunglasses that go over your glasses.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because there's lots of sensitive.
People that are 1,000 years old.
I wish I could get those. These actually look like real sunglasses, just like comically large, because they have to fit over your they look almost like Ray-Bans or like blue. But they've been delayed 4 days by Amazon. It's like, by the time these things are going to arrive, I only ordered those because they said they could be here the next day. And we're 4 days in, and every day I'm driving looking into the sun because the sun rises in the east and it's burning my eyeballs. And every day I'm like, is today the day I go to Navarro to get the old people ones? Because I know they're going to have them there. I know I have to go to Navarro to get it, because if I go to CVS or Walgreens, they're not going to have them. So I have to go to Navarro Pharmacy to get them. Do I give up and go there today? Because then I know what's going to happen. It says that it's lost and it hasn't been shipped, and then I arrive home and it's going to be on my doorstep.
Billy, here's the fun part. You just complain and they'll give it to you for free.
Who do I complain to? A robot?
Amazon.
No, but then it's like a whole thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Trust me. They just like, you know what? Keep it.
No, I know that. I know. I actually had one of those for the first time that I'm like, this is something that I don't really need. It doesn't fit me. I'm going to send it back. And it was $5. I'm like, they're just going to tell me to keep it. And then they didn't tell me to keep it. I'm like, now I need to drive all the way to a UPS store to return this thing that costs $4.99. And it takes like half my day to do this. And that's what's going to happen with these sunglasses if I give in. So now I'm like, I don't even know who I'm fighting with, but I'm like, I'm not going to buy a second pair. They need to send me the pair that I ordered. And by the time they come, my eye is going to be fixed, or it's going to be so much more damage from looking into the sun every day.
Can you imagine being at a stoplight and looking over to your left, and Billy's got these?
No, these are cool. These are cool looking ones. I'm telling you.
When I worked at Navarro as a little kid, I used to pretend I was Cyclops, like in that section.
I'm telling you, if I went to the palace with these on, I would be killing it.
We have gotten a touch spoiled at how quickly Bezos gets us stuff. And Chris Cody was, while you were talking, he was putting down the imaginary flap from the car that is right over your eyebrows.
I love the flap. That's what I'm saying. That's all you got to do. You're like worried about the sun and stuff.
No. Okay. We need to talk about this. Car designers, if you're listening, there's been an advancement in that car flap, the car shield that comes down. That has existed for years because my car's a 2013 and it has it, but there's new cars that come out that don't have it. And it's, you flap it down, right? It's like the sun shield, and then you could slide it over.
Game changer.
The one that slides over changed the game.
You use that when you put it on the side, though.
Exactly right. You flip it to the side, and then you extend it, and it always blocks the sun. Or you're driving in the passenger one, you put down the passenger. You don't even have a passenger in the car. And if you do, too bad, so sad. You're the passenger. We're dealing with my eyes here. You flap it down, and then you extend it.
So then use that.
Driver comfort is paramount.
There's cars that come out now that don't have them, and I do not understand how that's even a thing. Yeah, it's like going into a car, and you still have to manually crank the window. How is that still a thing?
Free game for car manufacturers. Do another one where it extends downward.
That could get dangerous.
What does that even mean?
Field of vision.
Like if the sun
field of vision
downward. Oh,
look, nothing's flying at you. Everything's on the ground. So really, all I need to see is the ground.
Is not how driving works.
That's how driving works.
How do you look up at stoplights if you're
on the ground? I like Amin's idea because it protects your eye. It's the rest of you that's going to die in a fiery crash because you can't see anything. But your eyes will be protected from the sun.
Exactly.
Impeccably. I am looking at a photograph here before we update.
Logan was such an asshole to Scott Summers. I mean, he was just trying to cuck his wife the entire time.
But Scott Summers also is a little bit of a douche.
A little bit like, I'd like to watch, but with my goggles on.
Yeah.
The photo I'm looking at before we update the tournament is of Hassan Whiteside and Brandon Knight on an airport tarmac in Puerto Rico waving tiny Puerto Rican flags as they prepare to sign with Los Piratas de Quebradillas.
Los Piratas! I can't believe it. Wow, that's big.
I don't know what a quebradilla is. I don't know what that word means in Spanish.
Probably a city.
Can any of you...
Hassan blew through 100 million quicker than Drake.
Dude, he loves to play basketball. Come on, guys.
Wait, are you saying he blew through that entire contract?
No.
You don't know
he
that.
He loves basketball. No. You've gone too far.
Let's update the poll. Let's update here the tournament because we've had play-in games. Those play-in games were fun last night. Going right down to the end.
Doesn't March, count.
It's March, Dan.
March has begun. We're going to have a March.
Doesn't the Aggies count. Of Texas A&M CC.
The team plays in Quebradillas, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's the city of the team.
Okay, I don't know what... So it's just the name of a city. Fair enough. Texas, number two seeded Texas is represented by...
Tom Izzo looks like he calls his star player the son I never had. Even though he has four sons at home.
Playing number 15, Colgate.
Matt Patricia looks like he picks his teeth with his pinky and says, bonus snack.
He does. No, that's like just that. A fat joke.
Well, but there are a lot of those here. Texas A&M is a 7 seed represented by...
Vic Fangio looks like the old computer illiterate sales guy that argues with the younger boss that computers don't make sales. Salesmen make sales.
I love that.
Against number 10, Penn State, represented by...
Rob Gronkowski looked like the guy who made it to his early 30s believing that all dogs are male and all cats are female.
Man. He doesn't look like that guy. He is that guy, right?
They're not, I mean.
Are you sure?
Yes, he looks like that guy and also is that guy. He does look a bit oafy, does he not?
I mean, but that's my point. Is like, never mind.
Thank you. Your point is a poor one.
And my point is a great one, but it's a little bit mean.
Stugat,
I mean,
I'm taking...
Did DeAndre Jordan end Brandon Knight's career then and there? Because that's the way that I'm remembering it.
No, torn ACLs did.
All right. It wasn't the DeAndre Jordan... Nah, I think it was. I think I'm right here.
Would Pirates be good or bad at basketball? Because their logo has the hook holding the ball, but it would probably pop the ball in many instances, right? And if there's a peg leg situation, do you want to be a Pirate? That seems like probably one of the worst mascots to play basketball.
Put him in the post, though, and then he can spin on the peg leg, and it's not a travel.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Tony, of course, would know how to do it. That's
there's some notable alumni for La Pirata, by the way. P.J. Tucker. No, P.J. Tucker, John Lucas III. James Ennis.
Why'd you Shavlik just assume Randolph? Carlos Arroyo?
I think he didn't play for them?
For La Pirata.
All I remember about the Puerto Rican national team that played in the Olympics was that they were dominating us with a center named Ortiz who was in his mid-40s and had gel in his hair. They pounded us.
And shoulder hair, too. Yeah.
I have waited long enough to get to this, though, with Stugats, who today has been distracted, nervous, weirdly flustered, given that it seems everything is moving toward Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet. And I don't know if at 1 o'clock today on the McAfee show, now normally he's on Tuesdays on McAfee, he is coming out of the darkness and silence and ignoring Brandon Marshall. He's going to say something at 1 o'clock today.
It'd be a terrible interview if he didn't. I mean,
well, why would he be doing it unless he's going to say something?
Well, he has to appear on that show.
He doesn't have to appear. Oh, come on, Stugatz.
Greg Cody.
He normally appears on Tuesdays. Now he's appearing on Wednesday. He doesn't have to appear. Like, what? Really, Stugatz?
You think he's got commitments?
Stugatz, come on, Stugatz.
He's blown him off for 3 weeks.
McAfee has Aaron Rodgers. You have Greg Cody.
We've got the guy wearing pants in the relay race against Tyreek Hill.
Pants.
I'd rather have Cody. I got to be honest.
Where are you with this, Stugatz? Because you say you're going to rush home to watch YouTube and watch Pat McAfee put a leg and a foot up on a desk as he interviews Aaron Rodgers. And you're expecting what? Because yesterday was the report, and it's great as we talk about Aaron Rodgers not having enough help in Green Bay that he's now bringing all of it with him. Because good. He's got a list of demands. He's got a wish list.
Because the Jets have worked so well over the years.
It's Lazard. It's shocking to see Mercedes Lewis on that list after 20 damn years in the league.
We were joking around that he was going to do this, and then he actually did it. And 5 years of carrying water for Aaron Rodgers, saying that he didn't have weapons in Green Bay, and now he wants all the weapons he had in Green Bay.
And it is so much fun to see these athletes realize the power and the leverage they have of whether they're Nelson Cruz as the general manager putting themselves in the game or Aaron Rodgers saying, you can't do anything until you get me all of my friends. Like, I won't say yes to this unless I get every single thing that I want.
But haven't his friends led to him not winning?
Yeah.
Like, are those pieces better than what the Jets have right now?
No.
No, they're additions to what the Jets have right now.
No, there's talk that they may have to trade Elijah Moore now because Moore was a malcontent last season with how he was being used.
With Zach Wilson, though.
And they just brought Lazard into the fold, and they're trying to bring Randall Cobb in here, and they're also talking about OBJ. I'm telling you, if you have to separate yourself from Elijah Moore, and you think that Odell Beckham Jr. and Randall Cobb is an upgrade over Elijah Moore and Braxton Berrios, you are dead wrong.
Aaron Rodgers is the ultimate upgrade over Zach Wilson. I don't care who he's throwing the football
to. That is fair. And on aggregate, like, if those are the concessions you have to get to sweeten the pot to the point that Aaron will restructure his deal to fit these guys in, go for it. I'm with you. But position by position, just because they're his friends, these aren't necessarily upgrades.
Mike, this player, a player of this caliber, never chooses this franchise, this organization.
Brett Favre did. Same team.
No, Brett Favre was traded. He wanted to go somewhere else. He wanted to go to the Vikings. He eventually got there after a year or two with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is choosing the New York Jets. He is choosing.
He's choosing that defense.
He is. I don't care why he's choosing.
He seems to be choosing an organization that's going to let him do whatever he wants, which isn't necessarily going to go well.
This player never chooses us. He's choosing us, and he can bring whoever he wants. I don't care who he brings.
That's why he's choosing you.
He has all the leverage, yes, and he should have the leverage. He's one of the all-time greats, and we're one of the all-time worst organizations. Like, it's perfect. He should have the leverage in this situation, and I'm happy he's bringing Odell, and I don't care who else he brings, because this guy never comes to this team, ever.
It's almost like he's self-sabotaging so that when it doesn't work, he goes, oh, you know, it was Aaron Rodgers. I didn't have any help. You guys got me all the guys that I had no help with in Green Bay. You guys, he keeps doing this. He keeps doing it, and everyone falls for it. You think he actually is trying to win and be... He's not trying to do that.
No, Billy and Stugatz are with you on he's purposely tanking. I really don't want to do that conversation.
That was
again,
the last year.
I've had it enough.
No, Stugatz thinks right.
Stugatz is out here, like, really believing.
Sent Devontae Adams to the Raiders. I mean, he got rid of his offensive coordinator.
I've heard your arguments on this. It is officially noted in the record. Yeah. That's fine. Billy and Stugatz believe that Aaron Rodgers was purposely losing games
before.
Last year.
Yeah, no, yeah. I believe it's he's trying... Yeah. I think he's trying to win, and I don't dislike Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this seems like the longer goes out, this isn't going to end well, right? Like, this isn't going to end with the Jets going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was someone who took a different tact with that list because I think a lot of people were like, Lazard, Mercedes, Lewis. The thing that I saw was Odell Beckham that made me wonder, well, wait, if he wants Beckham, wouldn't he have wanted him back when he was in Green Bay and needed him the last couple of years?
He
and
did.
But they failed to get
correct
him. Yes. And now he's saying, I'm not going to do failed to get my guys anymore.
The reports
I've got
were,
the leverage. I trusted my organization of 15 years to get me the guy they want that I wanted, not just Randall Cobb.
And I don't trust the organization I'm going to, so I'm going to tell him to do it on the front end. I'm good with that.
When Odell ended up going to the Rams, he did have negotiations with the Packers, and the reports were that the Packers really wanted to prioritize his special teams contributions. And they didn't really see him like skipping other people in the depth chart. So there wasn't an alignment on how they would use Odell there. But yeah, he made it very clear to Green Bay that he wanted Odell and they didn't work it out with him because of how they wanted to use him.
We're in a new time, I mean, and I really do believe for as much as we've overcovered LeBron over the few years, like he instigated all of these people realizing the power that they have to negotiate these things because Aaron Rodgers right now has held up some of free agency, some other organizations, what they want to do at quarterback. He's held up the whole line.
He really hasn't.
Mike,
he really hasn't because it's done. Derek Carr fell into place. Jimmy Garoppolo fell into place. The quarterbacks, Andy Dalton is falling into place. The quarterback market has Jameis. All these quarterbacks know that this deal is done. That's why what he's doing right now is bullshit. It's why I believe Billy when he says Aaron Rodgers is not going to say anything on Pat McAfee right now because Aaron Rodgers gets off on this shit.
Well,
he loves you talking about him.
Outside of LeBron, though, like how often has this worked? Harden. Like how many times has the player getting all the power led to them actually winning a championship?
And it was hard for it to work for LeBron. It worked in spite of those moves that LeBron forced.
I mean, Brady kind of asked for some stuff from Tampa Bay, did he not? Gronk. Right?
Yeah, he got it. Yeah. The most part. They were also uniquely positioned because they had a great defense.
He also
didn't bring the entire team, but it worked.
Well, he also, if you believe reports, didn't want to go to Tampa originally. He wanted to go to Las Vegas, and then that didn't work out, so he kind of settled for Tampa. And while he was in Tampa, it seems like the whole time he wanted to be in Miami, which is a weird thing.
The reports recently
have
suggested, I mean, I think everyone is
we
like
are
that.
All in agreement on that, I think.
Except for Aaron Rodgers, who might take it all the way up to the draft.
Maybe Aaron does like the thing that we've joked about for years where like opening day you have no idea what team he's on and he just comes out of a tunnel. And then it's like
with
Carolina randomly. Yeah.
And he unzips it like,
Carolina.
Oh! It's blue!
Stugatz, you cannot continue disingenuously thinking that this isn't going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. You're like living and dying with all these...
No.
Just signed Lazard. Yeah. They've cleared all the space. He's... going
it's
to New York.
It's too real for Stugatz,
though. Going to New York. All of this is bullshit.
I think he's going to New York. I think it's going to happen. I'm encouraged by what's going on. I like the wish list. I don't mind it at all. I'm just tired. That's it. Like, I'm just checking my phone every 5 minutes. Like, I just want it to happen. I want to celebrate it.
You want to see him in the jersey. You want to see the graphic. You want to buy the jersey.
I want to know we have him. I want to hear him say.
You have him.
I am going to.
This is all bullshit.
I don't want to hear from you. And even if he says it today on McAfee, I won't believe it until Schefter tweets it out. I mean, that's it.
If he says, I'm going to the Jets today.
Yeah,
I won't believe him. And poor Hal Wingo. I mean, Trey Wingo is trying to report this story and no one's buying it. I mean, I feel terrible for him. What
I'm telling you and you're not buying it. I'm telling you to your face, it's done.
You're not Hal. I mean, and Hal's not Schefter.
It would be incredible if he just got all his friends big new deals and retired. That would be amazing.
And we're stuck with him.
If you hated the sport, like that would be the move, right? To just completely gum up everything.
It's what Billy would do.
get Lazard a job and say, go ahead. Hey, Alan.
I'm good with Lazard. It's Cobb and Mercedes Lewis. And
anarchy. Yes, total anarchy. Make a giant mess. Did you not hear the segment he did with the buttons a few segments ago? What do you mean it's not what Billy would do? Billy likes to destroy everything.
I think I helped.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugats.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Man, if Aaron doesn't say at 1 o'clock that he's going to the Jets, they should 100% make a Lamar offer today and just kind of like put the pressure on him. Like sign
Piss
or
Piss off the
don't.
Guy that they're bringing in.
Exactly right. Sign or don't. Bring in Lamar. No, you sign all of his friends and then you bring in Lamar Jackson to be the quarterback. And then you're like, have fun in Green Bay, buddy.
But the Ravens could match.
Aaron Rodgers not is going a Jet. To. He's a Jet. He's
well,
a Jet.
We'll see.
He's a Jet.
Billy, I like the move. I'm just saying. What if Lamar doesn't want Lazard?
He's a Jet. He's a Jet all the way. He's a
I
Jet.
I think Lamar just wants guaranteed money, right?
You guys sound like you don't actually want this to end. You guys sound like you're saying you
I
want it
need
to end.
It to end.
But you're creating hypothetical situations where, and that's a great one, where you bleep Aaron Rodgers by simply saying, okay, Lamar Jackson will have Alan Lazard as his quarterback as a Jet. Go back to Green Bay where they don't want you and see if you can ward off Jordan Love with as Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb and Odell Beckham are Jets.
What if Jackson wanted Berrios, though? I mean,
I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to have a deal fall apart where he gets all of his guaranteed money if Braxton Berrios is not involved. I don't think that's a scenario we have to consider.
Okay, but it sounds like you guys want to keep talking
it
about
would be
this.
Great. Dan, wouldn't it be great if at the end of the day, all of Aaron Rodgers' friends end up there with Lamar, and then Aaron's like, what do I do now?
I think Dan's rooting for all of Aaron's friends being there with Zach Wilson.
Is this what it was like in like the 90s when people talked about like Party of Five and pretended like they didn't talk about Party of Five and they didn't care about it?
I am rooting for the Jets.
Where'd you pull that one
like
from?
Melrose Place?
What the hell is that?
I'm trying to think of a time where it was like six channels and everybody watched the same thing but pretended they hated it. Yeah.
But you wanted to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lacey Chabert.
Party of Five. What does that mean? What is Party of Five? Can anybody clarify that?
The TV show. It had Alyssa Milano and Lacey Chabert.
Oh, I loved her.
Classic.
Lacey Chabert was great.
Big crush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The original Meg Griffin, by the way.
It didn't have Alyssa Milano.
Yep.
It had Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Alyssa Milano was
Who's the Boss?
No,
and
no.
Charmed.
Charmed. That's
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, that's a show that turns on every morning after you watch NBA basketball in the playoffs.
What's your question, Billy?
Well, you know what I'm gonna ask you. So there was an original Meg Griffin.
Yep.
Isn't it Mila Kunis?
It was Lacey Chabert first.
She has like she's had a whole career resurrection just doing Hallmark movies.
Lacey?
Yeah, once you get in like the Hallmark movie game, you're in every Hallmark movie forever. You will never not work again.
DJ Tanner did that.
Yeah.
DJ Tanner.
I am rooting for the Jets to speed up the I'm getting tired of Aaron Rodgers scenario by getting tired in a week the way that the Packers got tired in 15 years. And turning this into Aaron Rodgers roaming the earth looking for a place to play because the Jets have gotten Lamar Jackson. Probably slightly unlikely.
They go to Baltimore.
Let's go ahead where he would have no wide receivers and be asked to run around like Lamar Jackson in an offense built for
He'd
a scrambling quarterback.
There was a fake tweet going out there that had the Patriots team plane in Colorado, and people were saying, ooh, they're trying to steal Aaron Rodgers at the last second. And part of me was like, God, I would love it if Belichick stole this from the Jets at the last second. Oh. That would be hilarious.
But we got his friends. I mean,
quietly. If he, if he managed to pull it off quietly.
That's sinister. He's like, I know how bad these guys are. Let me saddle them in this team in the division and beat up on them twice a year.
He feels good about himself. He goes to New England with Belichick, and he got his friends jobs they don't deserve.
You say this as if it's crazy, Mike, but I believe this entire scenario in free agency in general makes people crazy because Colin Cowherd was arguing yesterday that if the Rodgers thing fails for the Jets, they should go after Mac Jones. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
I love
Colin
that.
Colin Cowherd genuinely said that this is all eyewash. He's just like, hey man, just try to get you a job with the Jets. That's the whole purpose of the wish list. Like, I'm working over here. Sorry they couldn't bring you, but you can't blame me. And it was dismissed so out of hand by Will Blackman.
He said, Aaron leaked it. He's like, Aaron leaked it for this nefarious plot. And he goes through, Will Blackman points out, like, you talked for a minute straight detailing this idea, this theory, and it's totally preposterous.
It was Billy Madison. It's like, everyone in the room is now dumber for having heard it.
What is your move? Like, if you don't get Aaron, what's the move?
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Lamar, Brady,
Cam Newton,
Tannehill.
Brady. Let's go ahead and update the tournament.
You have a football show, man.
Arizona, God bless football and stupidity. If you actually want to hear Jay Billis talk about the tournament, unlike what he did here, you could check out Stupidity, where Stugatz does break down the college basketball with him. I'm sure many of you were disappointed that we didn't do more of that. You could check that out on Stupidity. But number 2 seed Arizona is represented by...
Greg Popovich looked like a white blood cell.
That is a 2 seed, yes.
Facing number 15, Princeton.
Dan Campbell looks like the dad who overly commits to his princess character at his daughter's tea party.
Yeah. Wearing the tutu and got the little wand. Yep, absolutely.
Tiara.
Yeah.
It's just Hulk Hogan in that movie.
Yeah. No, it's the Tooth Fairy with The Rock. That's what it is.
Number 4, Virginia, is represented by...
Andy Dalton looked like a camp counselor who constantly gets pants by the campers.
Red Rifle.
Is that why you just went,
Yes.
When you just
Every
heard
time I hear his name. Yeah.
Andy Dalton's name. Number 13, Furman, represented by...
Adam Silver looked like a Van de Graaff generator at a junior high school science lab. What the hell is a Van de Graaff?
Same note too, Juju.
I wanted to ask you something for your basketball expertise here.
What the hell is a Van de Graaff?
When Cam Reddish...
Sounds like a killer 2 guard for Duke.
Yeah. What the hell is a Van de Graaff?
When Cam Reddish says of leaving the Knicks that his playing time was all politics and favoritism and shit... And the numbers on the court suggested that they were better when he wasn't on the court mm-hmm. than when he was. Mm-hmm. Not by much, but enough to make Thibodeau decide that Cam Reddish shouldn't be playing.
Uh-huh.
When he says all politics and favoritism and shit, it's a lot of players say that when they believe they're very good and aren't getting their opportunity. Mm-hmm. Is it real?
So in the case of Cam Reddish, the front office wanted him to be playing because they gave up assets to get him, right? They traded Kevin Knox in a first-round pick to get him. Thibodeau was not enamored with him. He did not like his practice habits. He didn't think he was applying himself, but was playing him under directive from the front office. And at some point, Tibbs realized, if I keep playing this guy, I'm not going to have a job. And the moment, if you look at it, the moment he stopped playing him, that's when the Knicks started playing well. So it's hard. That doesn't mean that Cam Reddish isn't a good player, but it's hard to argue with Thibodeau's logic because the results are bearing out.
But whoever's not playing often makes this argument.
All the time.
Is it real? How often is it real that a front office, because sometimes it's real. If you've got a lot of money invested in a pick that you're paying or you're paying somebody a lot of money, you're going to see that guy out a little more than you might somebody who's not as highly regarded as Cam Reddish. But this organization did believe in him. This seems like a ridiculous accusation for him to make, given that they were trying to do something with him.
Well, he also knows that Tibbs did not like him, Right, like that he knows. I mean, it was,
but it wasn't personal. It's not because he didn't like his opinions on movies.
He made his team worse.
Tibbs is a guy, like, surprise, surprise. Why does Jimmy Butler get along with him? Great, because Tibbs is a guy who believes you practice how you play, and if you're dogging it in practice, then like I can't trust you in a game. And Cam Reddish is not, from all reports, whether it was in Atlanta or New York, wasn't a great practice player. You kind of go through the motions and all that. And for Tibbs, that's like sacred. So I'm sure the kid is looking at it like, you don't want to give me a chance. And in Tibbs' mind, it's like, I'm not going to give you a chance because you haven't earned it or proven so. But the reality is, every player in the NBA has a version of the, if the coach wasn't hating on me, man. That's standard NBA talk.
I mean, he's on the bench in Portland. There's a guy, Watford, starting over Cam Reddish. I mean, Cam Reddish is a bench player. Like, he is. I know he's a talented offensive player, but everywhere he's been coming off the bench.
It's really hard in this league to be talented and not work hard and be successful.
Dan, you went, but were you trying to say Baker Mayfield to the Bucks?
Whoa!
I was trying to say Bert Kreischer next.
Oh.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Trist and Shout.
Stugatz.
Trist and Shout.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We were reliving earlier in this show how Dan apparently ended your podcast with Bill Burr. It's the last episode ever. So...
That's an interesting episode, isn't it? Have you ever heard it?
All right, Bert, we'll welcome you in that way. I'm always happy to see his face. I feel like a lot of people are just made happy by this man's affable energy. His new Netflix stand-up special, Razzle Dazzle, is out now. A friend of the show, Dave Williamson, opens for him. And we root for this guy because he is fun, and your success has been a pleasure to watch. Thank you for making time for us. New movie, The Machine. It's based on his life. It's going to be in theaters May 26th. How surprised are you by the amount of success that you now have in an industry that is really hard to have this kind of success in?
I am more surprised than my dad, and that says a lot. my dad last week or 2 weeks ago, I was at the Emily Center in Tampa, and my dad, is the first time he'd ever seen me perform live. And I got a suite for him, and Wade Boggs walked into his suite, and my dad was like, "You know my son?" And then at the end of the night, Derrick Brooks showed up. My dad was a big Florida State, big Bucks fan. Derrick Brooks shows up and says to my dad, "Can you believe where your son is today?" My dad goes, "I've never seen him perform." And Derrick Brooks goes, "I was at his first show he ever did in Tallahassee."
Oh, wow.
My dad left and was like, "I don't even know how to talk to you anymore."
He doesn't deserve a look at me, Lou.
It's a great story.
It's a good story.
First show, Brooks.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you. It's not right what they're doing, Bert, and it's disrespectful. I did want to just talk to you, though, about your dad. Couldn't have believed in you when Rolling Stone was naming you the top partier at the number one party school in the country. You were a failure to your dad at that point, were you not?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I was in college for 6.5 years. I had no plans on what I wanted to do. And one of my pitches was, maybe I'll just go to Aspen. And he's like, "How are you paying for Aspen?" I was like, I thought that was a Wii game.
How how long before he came around on the idea of this as a career choice?
You know, he was pretty quick with it. My uncle's a really successful like politician, lobbyist. And my dad just didn't get any of it. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. It was almost like I was coming out of the closet. My dad was cool with it. He just didn't want me to bring the dude to the house, you know?
Did they think you were funny? Your family thought you were funny. Did they think that you could make a career out of it?
No. My family still doesn't find me funny.
Is that right?
I swear to God, yeah. I'm the least funny person in my family. My sister, Cotty, is by far the funniest.
You're the least funny person in your family. That cannot be true.
According to his parents.
Yeah, according to my parents. Me and my dad, we laugh. Like, we're laughers. So, like, we laugh at my sister and my sisters and my mom and my daughters. But I am not, I'm definitely not the funniest person in my family.
Where does your comedy come from? Because the family has to be funny, right? And funny had to be encouraged.
I swear to God, this is going to sound like, honestly, old Cuban men. I think growing up in Florida, like Tampa, I went to all-boys Catholic high school, and that energy of an all-boys Catholic high school and the coaches that we had and the sense of humor that you'd have when you go to beach week and one of the dads would stay with you, those laughs, like making guys laugh, that was my energy. So like there in Tallahassee, going to being an ATO for Florida State, that's where I got my sense of humor. Dude, I took sports so seriously as a kid. I was not funny.
But the Cuban dads, I remember the first time that you and I talked, you pointed out that you loved my dad because all you saw growing up was funny, cartoonish Cuban men.
Dude, I mean, obviously none of them ever spoke politically, or not politically correct, but well, politically correct too, but like without curse words. But yeah, I mean, just the dad, because the boys would do stuff, right? And then we'd come home and the dad would be up and he'd be like, hey, what did you guys get into tonight, huh? And it was this energy of like he would bust balls and then we would bust balls. And yeah, that's, I mean, the majority of my sense of humor is Florida based, because all my sense of humor is based out of like all boys Catholic high school and a fraternity up at Florida State. And like basically just sifting off the people I thought were funny and then turn, you know, that's how you find your sense of humor, really.
And when you're taking your shirt off and using your body as comedy, you're going.
That's Florida, bro.
You're going maximum Florida, man.
That's Florida.
When did you decide to start doing that? When was it encouraged? When did that become your signature, the idea that you're up there just throwing your body at the people here in a tight pair of jeans shirtless?
I was. The jeans have gotten tighter, the fat I've gotten. They weren't always tight. My daughter said Baby Walrus needs to move out of skinny jeans. I started doing it just to cheer myself up, because you get on the road and do like a Thursday night and you'd be like, I got a whole weekend ahead of me. This is going to be a long weekend. I'm missing my family. It's a not sold out. So I would rip my shirt off and kill a beer to make myself giggle, because I thought it was silly, and to remind myself this should be fun. And then one night I was in Columbus, Ohio. I ripped my shirt off and killed a beer. And then something happened in the room and I forgot to put it back on. And one of the comics I respected was in the back and he was like, bro, you just did a whole hour with your shirt off. I went to put it on and this lady in the back goes, keep it off. And so I did it, and I was like, what I'll do is I'll do stand up without my shirt. And then when I go to do a special, I'll put on a shirt and it'll be like Michael Phelps was swimming in overalls. Like, I'll be so good with the shirt. But then I didn't realize I've never performed with a shirt on. So I'm not comfortable wearing a shirt on stage. So I just had to do it shirtless.
And how does this work with comfort with your body? Because not everyone can do that. You're the first to be doing that. Not everyone is comfortable enough with their size to be in front of thousands of people shirtless like that, because it is funny.
It's interesting, because I I have this reverse body dysmorphia. So like, I heard a story, secret time. Obviously, I'll tell you, but secret time. I heard a story that Chris Pratt was a fat kid growing up, and that someone told me, like, he'll always be fat in his head. No matter how great of shape he is, he'll always think of himself as a fat kid. I was in shape as a kid, and so I do not see myself fat at all. As a matter of fact, I think in Razzle Dazzle, I look low-key jacked. I think I look better than I've ever looked. My shoulders, dude, look at my
Marshall.
You are jacked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got some cuts right there. You see it there?
I mean, I'm feeling good. I feel great about my body.
The new Netflix stand-up special, Razzle Dazzle.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Bert, stop making those
Never
faces.
Show your belly button. Yes.
Do that thing where you're,
let's increase your female viewers.
Make your boobs move.
This is a body you can get.
Razzle Dazzle is the stand-up special. How old would you have to be? What is the age if I came up to you and said, Bert, you're not going to believe this, but the new movie, Machine, it's in theaters in May, and Razzle Dazzle, a Netflix special, is happening. At what point in your career, at what age would you have said, yeah, that's a possible dream?
Oh, 50? Where I am, I didn't think any of that was going to happen. Listen, I got to be dead honest with you. I shot Razzle Dazzle in November, and I'm used to the Netflix specials, but with the Machine movie, that was sitting on a shelf. They weren't doing anything with it, and they weren't going to release it. And it wasn't until I leaked it on Rogan that it got life. And so ever since it's got life, now it's got real life. And so I didn't think the movie was ever going to come out.
Dan, Bert's got me feeling confident. You know what? I'm going to join you, Bert, taking the shirt off.
Wow.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to have to do it, too.
I, too, was ripped when I was younger, Bert. I'm
have to do it.
Listen, let's all be, come on, bros.
Oh, man.
I don't really want to do
round the horn.
Stu, you're looking good.
The mantle lantern.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Dan, we're doing it, too. Dano! Years. Take the top off.
Oh, jeez.
All right. You are allowing us to be more comfortable with our physical appearances.
I have to take off my nipple stickers.
He's a pioneer and an icon.
Oh, look at Dano.
Mr. Nipple.
Perfectly
haired.
I'm sorry, this is a routine. It's a reverse body dysmorphia. It's a really weird time for Jessica to come back. It's a perfect time for Jessica to come back.
Hey, Jess.
You like it, Bert?
Get out.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Why are you massaging
Andrew Luck making an appearance there? Bert, I do want to know when you were partying, the top partier at the number one party school in the country. What did that look like?
You're looking at
marijuana in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Around 4, Simpsons, fried chicken, and a lot of cocktails up until about 2 in the morning. Then back to my place, Goat Campbell around 3 in the morning. Joints on the Seminole Head.
I love you.
And not a lot of sex, just dudes.
The best 6.5 years of your life, Bert.
How much public nudity was there?
An aggressive amount. This is back before that was considered assault.
You can't do that. You shouldn't be. Publicly nude is probably a bad idea, but this was a different time.
I'm feeling assaulted right now in this room.
I took a dump on a pizza box to win an election. Like, I was totally naked. Like, this is back when that was called provoking.
That is a great sentence. I took a dump on a pizza box to win an election.
By a landslide. I won by a landslide.
I mean, that was Trump's platform.
What can you tell me about being moved, performing in front of so many people? Because the crowds now where you gather are enormous. They surprise me, even as funny as you are.
I'm telling you, I had a real moment in Boston. I had a real moment in Tampa at Amelie, but I had a real moment in Boston when I walked in and there's this old, guy that's been working at the Garden forever. And I walk into my underwear and he goes, "You sold it to the ceiling, kid. You sold it to the ceiling." And then I got a standing ovation and I started crying. I was like, boom, it caught me off guard. Same thing happened in Tampa. Same thing happened in Orlando. I never expected any of this, man. At 44, I was fired from Travel Channel. My wife wanted to get a vasectomy. We were tearing down our house to rebuild it. I was nowhere. I got kicked off Funny or Die tour. I was making $2,000 a week on Funny or Die. Tom was making $20,000 a night. And I was like, that's my life. I got to accept it. I never thought any of this would happen.
What happened with the podcast with Bill Burr? That wasn't really
you.
No, that wasn't
you. That was
no,
you.
No, because it did it. What is that? Why it ended? That can't be why it ended, Bert.
Please say it did. Please say it was. Please say it was.
Leaning back helps. I feel like
I wish
I'm gonna take.
I wish I could lean back.
So you're serious? You invite me on and we blindside Bill Burr during a barbecue and he was mad about it and that's it? It ended a popular podcast?
I thought it would go so much better. He was, you know what's so funny is it was the second to last time I've spoken to Bill.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Wow. Ended a friendship.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what happened.
Bert, I went in knowing, do not provoke Bill Burr. Do not provoke a comedian. It will go very poorly for you. I spent the entire interview backpedaling. But he got very angry off the top about the idea that Boston might have some racist tendencies.
He was extremely ornery.
But isn't he always?
It was a side of Bill. Like, I've known Bill for a long time. I've been friends with Bill for probably 20 plus years. I'll always be friends with Bill. We have not talked in a while, but I'll always be friends with Bill. I love Bill. I respect him. But man, that was a ornery interview. Like, I think what was happening was he was grilling out with his family and forgot that we had a podcast. And so when he came in and had to miss the grillings, I think that's what happened. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but I know that I was in Serbia. I kept cutting out and I'd come back in and you, hello.
That was Roy walking into the room.
I stopped you dead in
my tracks. I don't know why Bert
he walked in like Bobby Smurda in a prison shower.
How you guys doing?
Why did you look at, why did Roy stop you in your tracks like that, being shirtless?
He stopped and just stared at me like I was in the wrong shower stall.
Continue, please.
But yeah, I think there was it, and then I think that I was cutting in and out, and I'd cut back. And I jump in at wrong times, and I was like, I just should shut up. And then I was in Serbia. I was finishing the movie. We didn't talk, obviously, then. And then we got back. The podcast ended. He just didn't have enough time. He didn't have time for it. I don't think it was you. I think it was had to be me.
I don't believe you. The Machine, the new movie, is again.
Based what an honor. What a title, though. What a title.
I mean,
Albert Pujols.
They call him the podcast killer.
Can you tell people who do not know why your life is interesting, why The Machine should be in theaters? For the people who don't know the story, because it is a bit crazy, tell them why The Machine is something they should be watching.
When I was 22 years old, I got involved with the Russian mafia, which should lead you enough interested into the story. We robbed a train together. We ran a pool hall scam. We stole a boat, and I got away with it. And so it's a story I told on Rogan, and it's what's crazy. The interesting part of the story, and I've heard this story a lot. The most interesting part of the story is the reason it goes viral. December 27th, I posted on Facebook, and I go to a show, I come back, and I look, and I see that it's going viral. It's got 3 million views. I'm like, why is this going on? My wife goes, you should read the comments. And the first comment under mine, the one that everyone's commenting on, was left by a woman named Kristen Hodgden. And her comment read, this story's 100% true. I was in Birch Washington class. I was on this trip. This story's 100% true. He robbed us. And then tagged all my classmates in it. And then they commented and posted pictures. And so all of a sudden the story that people had heard was like, oh, here's a picture of Bert and Igor arm wrestling. Here's a picture of Bert and Igor drinking. Here's a picture of Bert the day he got away from robbing the train. And so, and so I think that's what made it go viral. But it's a good story. It's a 12-minute story, and that story changed my life.
Bert, I'm curious, the original version of what ended up being Van Wilder, the script was optioned by Oliver Stone. Have you ever thought about what that movie would have looked like if it were an Oliver Stone movie?
Oh, no, I haven't. No. I mean, I it's funny, I ran into Oliver Stone at a party. I was shirtless, I was drunk, and I had $2,200 in fresh ones on me. And I was like, when I was 22 years old, when I was 26 years old, you optioned the rights to my life and it changed my life. I just want to thank you. I wouldn't be here today. Like, I'm really happy. I have a happy marriage of my, and he just goes, wait, what? It was way too much for him. And he was like, and then obviously he's not going to remember an option 23, 25 years ago that was done by someone in his company. That was my ticket. I wrote a script for it. I submitted it. It was called The Undergraduates. that I thought was going to be a badass movie. And then obviously just all went away. And, you know, from what I hear, and I don't want to ever take credit for anyone's success ever. I did nothing with that movie. I have nothing to do with that movie. It's very cool little footnote in my life, I think. But yeah.
How bad were you?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're Russian mafia.
Not at all. I'm like a drunk Forrest Gump. Like I get into situations that are I'm in over my head. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, that is the story of my life. Like the time I thought Will Smith wanted to have sex with me, it's just me getting in over my head.
Yeah. Go on.
I thought so. So I'm 6 months into comedy, and Will Smith's people discover me, and they're like, "Hey man, we want to do a television deal. We think Will would like you, but you got to meet him." So I was like, "Okay." So they send me up to this recording factory, like the studio, and there's two folding chairs in the middle of a dance hall, like a dance room. And they go, "Sit there. Will be in a second. They just need him to. He needs to like you in order to get it." And it was $125,000. So I was like, done. First of all, I love hip hop, right? I love hip hop and I love Will Smith and Tupac. Biggie had just gotten shot. I mean, all this is going on around this time. And I'm like, I'm going to get this guy to love me. He sits down. I'm a whirlwind of personality. Dude, I love hip hop. I love Jada. I love you. I love black people. You're black. I love every, like, I'm like hammering this guy. We talk for 35 minutes and he just looks at me. He goes, "I like you." I go, "I like you." He goes, "What are you doing tonight?" And I go, "I don't know." And he goes, "Let's go to the movies." I go, "Cool." And then we leave. So I call my dad. My dad's a regular dude. I go, he goes, "How did it go?" I go, "It went great." He goes, "Tell me." I said, "We're going to the movies." My dad's like, "On a date?" I go, "No, like, I don't know." He goes, "Who else?" I go, "Just me and him." And he goes, "Oh, buddy. I'm so sorry this is happening to you. This is called the casting couch.
What happens is
these Hollywood stars have had sex with so many women that they're bored with having sex with women. The only thing that turns them on is the look on a young boy's face as they turn them into a gay guy." And I went, "What?" I go, "Dad, that's impossible." He goes, no, I heard about it. I'm telling you." I go, "Dad, this is impossible." He goes, let me ask you a question. What's more likely? The fact that you're so talented that in 6 months of doing stand-up, the biggest movie star in the world wants to make a TV show about you, or that he's tired of having sex with women and I want to have sex with you." I'm like, "I'm screwed." He's like, "Yeah."
Did you go to the movie afraid that you were going to have to ward off his advances?
I showed up. It wasn't even a movie theater. It was at Planet Hollywood, which is even weirder. Mm. And I'm like, "Wait, what celebrities go to Planet Hollywood? Where is the movie theater in Planet Hollywood?" So I'm sitting in the waiting room. Dude, 6'7", black guy comes in, sticks his head in. He goes, "Yo, you Bert?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm Charlie Mack." I was like, "Oh, I'm going to have sex with this guy too." Like, God, this is going to be a long night. I go downstairs. There's a folding room the size of a hotel room. A room of folding with curtains all around it, and there's 10 black dudes in there, and I'm like, "Oh my God, it's gonna be a long night. I got these 10 black guys, I got Charlie Mack, I got Will Smith, I'm sure he's bringing Jazzy Jeff. That's 13 dudes." So I just sat there, and then Will walked in with Jazzy Jeff. I swear to God. And he's like, "Yo, guys, this is the guy I was telling you about." And they all look at me like, "Oh, okay." And they start walking towards me. I'm like, "All right, here we go. It's game time." And then the curtains open up behind me and there's a private movie theater. And Will goes, "Grab us two seats. Me, you, and Jazzy will sit next to each other. And I'll get a shrimp. What do you want to drink?" And we had Long Island iced teas and we watched American Pie. And then at the end of the movie, it's a great movie. Obviously, it's a great movie. At the end of the movie, the lights come on and he goes, "So what'd you think?" I said, "It's a great movie." And he goes, no, about the room. I go, "It's very nice." And he goes, "No, about the guys in the room." I go, "The guys in the room?" He's like, "Yeah, what did you think?" And I was like, "I don't know. They're black?" And he goes, "Hey, man, you said you're a hip-hop fan. That's Kumo D.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Biz Markie. That's Big Daddy Kane."
Oh, man.
And he walked, and I was like, "No. I could have had sex with Biz Markie."
The new Netflix stand-up special, Razzle Dazzle, is out now. What do you love about it, Bert? Why should people be watching this beyond you being great at this and affable and just fun to listen to?
I think I've gotten better every special, and I've challenged myself, and I take a page out of Bill Burr's book of how he does stand up. He always brings something new. I think my act outs are way better. I think my characters, my interaction between characters, between me and my daughter or me and my wife, have gotten, I think from doing the movie, my stage presence and my behaviors on stage are funnier and better. I worked on that. But more importantly, I think I really structured this hour. I love the way I structured this hour. I've got fun stories about being a parent. I wouldn't say political stories, but I have current event topics that I talk about. And I think my closer is, I wish I hadn't used my closer and I kept it for this next tour, because it might be one of my favorite bits I ever did.
What were your thoughts on the pressure that was on Chris Rock in his Netflix special?
I couldn't do it. That guy's the greatest. You could not do a live show with me. I shoot four shows to get one special. We'll use the majority of one, but we'll tweak it with better stuff from each. Dude, he did one show. I did a special taping, and on the second show, I go, that was amazing. And Leanne goes, you have mustard on your pants. I go, what? She goes, yeah. I said, well, how would I have mustard on my pants? She goes, you had hot dogs in between sets. And I was like, why wouldn't someone stop me? I mean... I did, and when we did Razzle Dazzle, in the middle one of them, I had a drink and I had to take a piss, and so I went over to the side and peed in a cup off the side of the stage in the middle of the show. I mean, when I do a live show, they're live, they're fun, they're spontaneous, I can make it all happen. But when I'm doing a special, that is material I have worked on, rehearsed, and I want it presented a certain way, and I could not do what he did. He's the next level.
How many could do it? I didn't think it was a great special, but I did think the pressure was extraordinary, and it was hard for it to be a great special for anybody.
It was the pressure was insurmountable. Chappelle could do it. Burr could probably do it. That's it. Louis did it. Louis just did it in Madison Square Garden. I bet Gaffigan could do it. Segura can't do it.
It's a short list. I thought to myself, God Almighty, he must be scared. Even though he's one of the best, he must be scared.
It's the reason I think if you get offered Saturday Night Live to host, you got to say yes. I don't think I'd want to do it. Like, the pressure would be insane to deliver a monologue in front of America live, to not. Like, just, I don't know, like, obviously you have to take the gig, right? Obviously you want that. You want that in your career. But I've watched people do it, and I go, I don't know if I could handle that pressure.
This is the height of success, a movie, Razzle Dazzle, out now on Netflix. But what do you regard as the saddest venue that you have played? We talked to the late Bob Saget about being in Alaska, a very small restaurant/strip club, and evidently the women came out with pie tins around their breasts and actual matches just representing candles. What represents the furthest away you've been from this, the dream?
I did a college one time in a classroom, in an actual classroom, and they were sitting in desks, and it was eight kids, and then they asked me to stand on the teacher's desk like Robin Williams in that teacher my teacher, master my master, or whatever.
It's a Dead Poet Society.
Dead, yeah. Poet Society. And it was more depressing than the end of Robin Williams' life. It was
Bert.
I wish I could have. I would have taken that way out to get out of that gig. Oh my god!
Did you kill though? Did you kill the room?
No, I did horrible. I did horrible. There was a gender study major who did not find any of my jokes about my daughter or my wife funny, and proceeded to give me a back and forth.
Arguing with you.
Arguing.
He's still hurt by it. The new Netflix special, Razzle Dazzle, is out now. He's very funny. Great. Fun to talk to. Thank you, sir. Always appreciate your time. Apologize on my behalf to all the people broken by the economy that was that podcast with Bill Burr that I ruined.
Nope. It's our history, and we love our history. I love you, brother. Thank you so much for having me on. Gentlemen,
Thanks, Bert.
Yeah, Bert.
Thank you, guys.
Flex, yeah. Flex, everybody. Flex, better man.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.